For them that day, he'll do for you the same. I'm so glad that anything that will cleanse your heart from sin. It will start the joy bells ringing and will keep your soul on flame. It is burning now within my heart. Oh, glory to His name. I'm so glad that I can say I'm one of them.
What about Luke 17:30? Oh, I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, I'm glad. Oh, you believe that serpent seed stuff? Oh, yes, I'm one of them. Baptism in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. I'm one of them. Man ministry stuff too. I'm one of them. Oh yes, I'm one of them. Church, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them. Oh, I'm one of them. Hallelujah, one of them. Oh, I'm so glad I can say I'm one of them.
Oh, hallelujah. Good to be in service again this morning. Amen. God's good, isn't He? I've already seen Him do two supernatural things before the service even started. Amen. God's good. And so we come, as Brother West said, we come with expectations. Hopefully you're expecting God to do something this morning. And Brother Matthew, he had a real bad nosebleed, and we had a word of prayer for him. And Brother Bram had told Brother Billy Paul, whenever there's a bleed like that, just to read Ezekiel 16:6 three times. And we did, and God stopped the nosebleed. Amen. God's good, isn't He? And then I don't know the whole rest of the second testimony, but maybe Brother David will share it with you. God did something supernatural down there with me and Brother West and Brother David that me and Brother West don't know the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey said, but maybe Brother David will share that with you shortly. But God's good, isn't He?
Amen.
Amen. He did something supernatural for Brother West last night, said he'd never danced in the Spirit in his life. And before you knew it, he was down there waiting to come out, and he was dancing in the Spirit. And by the time he got here, out here and started preaching, we was about ready to do some dancing too.
Amen.
Amen. God's good. His presence has been good. We've certainly appreciated the services so far and looking forward to what God has in store for us. Many times, if you're not careful, when God moves like He has been, we think, oh my, that was such a good service. How can God ever outdo that? But hey, trust me, there's more.
Amen.
Brother Bram said the man was eating watermelon. He said, that's good, but there's more. Amen. So there's more this morning. We got a testimony. Brother Todd Neighbor wanted to share a testimony. He said, thank you for your prayers. The Lord blessed me with the job at the Census Bureau in Jeffersonville starting September 19th. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Amen. God is always right on time. Amen. Sometimes we try to get ahead of him, but if we'll just wait on him, he's always right on time. And we have an unspoken prayer request from Sister Stephanie Duvall for her sister, Julie Tharp. And so we want to remember her in prayer. How many has an unspoken prayer request you'd like to bring the Lord as well by an uplifted hand? Amen. The Lord sees each one. Brother Kenny Capps is with us this morning. I'm asked if he'd just come and lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. Good to have you in the service with us, brother.
Praise the Lord, church. We're happy to be here this morning. I understand this is your dedication, one of your dedication services, is that correct?
Sort of.
Okay. Thursday night, I was in a dedication service of a new church up in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. So it's a real blessing to see new churches rise up. Amen. And to see God's people being blessed with houses to worship in. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this great opportunity once again, Lord, together with saints of like faith. Father, we just come this morning, Lord, and we trust in you for everything. Lord, your prophet told us we get what we expect when we come to church. And Lord, we're expecting to be blessed of the Lord again today. Lord, we're expecting, Lord, you'll reveal yourself through the word of God, Lord, through the preaching of the man of God. Lord, may you come this morning and have your way in everything that's said and done. Lord, we pray for the request this morning that's been made known. Lord, maybe I don't know all about them, but God, you know about each and every one. Lord, we claim the promise of God. Lord, may the Holy Ghost go, Lord, and arrest the devil, Lord, in those situations where there's a need for healing, there's a need for revelation, there's a need for finances, whatever it may be. God, you know all about it this morning. Lord, we want to commit it all to you. Lord, there's nothing that man can do. There's nothing that preachers can do, but God, you're the preeminent one. Lord, many places, many churches across the land, Lord, they're trying to make Jesus Christ prominent this morning. But Lord, we don't want to just make you prominent. We want to make you preeminent in all things. Lord, have your way this morning. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, have your way. Speak to your people. Use your man of God. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
This morning, we're going to finish the 31st chapter of Psalm. We're going to go from 15th verse to the 24th verse, we'll read. I have to be careful thinking that what God did last night, he can't do again or do greater today. I can witness to that. I think many of us that've been in any services at all while you're turning, we realize that, I like what the brother said last night, the unexpectable God. He done something great today, and sometimes people think, well, it was a marvelous service last night. I don't know how we could do any better. We can't. But he can. So he's unexpectable. We never know what he's going to do, but we always come expecting something from God. All right, 15th verse and through the 24th this morning. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me.
Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake.
Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave.
Let the lying lips be put silence, which speak grievous things, crowding up contemptuously against our righteous.
O how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee. I'm sorry, I looked away for just a moment. That trust in thee before the sons of men. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city.
For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplication when I cried unto thee.
O love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful, and plentiful rewardeth the proud doer. Be of a good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. God bless you, and please be seated.
Amen. I believe Brother Isaac Weber's got a special for us this morning. If he'd come at this time.
Amen. Good morning. Page 651.
Little David. Oh, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I give it all to you, for I knew not what to do. And I'm so glad you made me see that you're really all that I need. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David, oh so small, and the giant, oh so tall, the odds were just too high for little David. So he shook off all of his foes with the power of God he was clothed. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Amen. Oh, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I give it all to you, for I knew not what to do. And I'm so glad you made me see that you're really all that I need. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Now little David, unafraid, for the giant he stood that day. Oh, it seemed to the end of little David, like the lion and the bear he slew, he knew that giant would come down too. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Oh, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I give it all to you, for I knew not what to do. And I'm so glad you've made me see that you're really all that I need. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Amen. Now little David, he stood tall, and the giant stood so small. Sweet victory had reigned for little David, for he gave the battle to a man that believed in getting things done. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Amen. Oh, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I give it all to you, for I knew not what to do. And I'm so glad you made me see that you're really all that I need. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. See the first verse? Little David, oh so small, and the giant, oh so tall, the odds were just too high for little David. So he shook off all of his foes with the power of God he was clothed. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Oh, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I give it all to you, for I knew not what to do. And I'm so glad you've made me sing that you're really all that I need. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine. Oh, the battle's not mine, said little David. Lord, it's thine, I'm in your favor. I give it all to you, for I knew not what to do. And I'm so glad you've made me see that you're really all that I need. Oh, the battle's not mine, I give it to you, Lord, it's thine.
Amen. You appreciate that this morning? Amen. If we can just give him the battle. Amen. Brother David and Sister Jeannie, you all have a special for us this morning.
He's in the midst of our storm. He's in now.
Thankful that he's still in the midst. Amen. He's in the midst this morning, whatever you're going through, whatever trial you're facing. Amen. He's still in the midst. The brothers would come at this time. Let's sing this together. Well, I looked over Jordan, and what did I see? Coming forward to carry me home. So a band of angels coming after me. They were coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, if you get there before I do, coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Well, sometimes up and sometimes down, coming for to carry me home. Oh, but still my feet are heaven bound. Oh, coming for to carry me home. Oh, swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Swing low, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me home. Jordan, and what did I see? Coming for to carry me home. Saw a band of angels coming after me. They were coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet low, sweet chariot. Oh, let's stand and sing it this morning.
coming for to carry me home. Tell all my friends I'm coming to. Oh, I'm coming for to carry me home. Oh, sweet home, sweet chariot, coming for to carry me. And I will bless the Lord. Brother David Seiler, if he'd come to the pulpit at this time, let's sing it again. I will bless the Lord, oh my soul, Lord, and all that is within me. Oh, bless his holy name. Oh, church, I know that he has done great things in my life. I know.
Done so much for us. His grace come by, changed your life, picked you up out of the muck and the mire of this world. And in return, he's worthy of all of our praise and admiration. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning as we ask him just to come and help us in the gospel this morning. If you have a need upon your heart, you can just make that need known to the Lord. I know he's mindful of every one of them. God bless your hand this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we've come into this place today. Lord, we come under great expectation for what you would have in store for us. We're looking to you now and believing in your promise, Lord. And Father, we ask that you would just take the bread of life. Lord, that you would just come and, Lord, use your word to move within us, Lord. And we ask that you would take it, Lord, and sever anything that's unlike you. For it's our desire, Lord, to be more like you. And we ask now, Lord, that you would just have preeminence in this place today. Father, may you come, Lord, and may you just move among us. May there be liberty in the house of God. Lord, we condemn the enemy that would try to come in and hinder. He always does. But Lord, we look to you, Lord, for that's where our help comes from. Father, you see every hand that's been lifted this morning. You know the need under those hands. We're asking, Lord, that you would just come and may you meet each need. May your will be done in every heart and every life. And Lord, when the last word would be said in this meeting, the last song would be sang, and we would go to our place of residence, Lord, that we could look back and remember, and we could say as those that walked, Lord, with you, did not our hearts burn within us as you walked and talked with us along the way? Grant it, we ask this morning in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. 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 While you're standing with me, I'm going to invite you into the book of Esther chapter 2 this morning. Esther chapter 2, I'd like to look at verse 5. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. And then we will read down a few verses of scripture and I'll give you our subject. Esther chapter 2, verse 5. Of course, this is where the Jews had come out of captivity, and now they are here living in this portion of time around this king. And a certain individual arises within this place because of God's predestinated, foreordained plan. Here comes one that raises up in the midst of them, and I'd like to preach on her this morning. The Lord will let us, and you'll pull with us. Verse 5 of Esther chapter 2. Now in Shushan the palace, there was a certain Jew who was named was Mordecai, whom the son of Joair, the son of Shimei, the son of Kish of Benjamite, who had been carried away from Jerusalem with the captivity, which had been carried away with Jeconiah, king of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, had carried away. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther, his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. And the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, he took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together into Shushan the palace to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house to the custody of Haggai. Watch the scripture. The keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him. And he speedily gave her things for purification, which such things as belonged to her, 7 maidens, which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her, glory, and her maidens to the best place of the house of the women. Amen. Now drop down to verse 16 and 17 for the sake of time. Verse 16 and 17. So Esther was taken unto King Ahasuerus into his house royal in the 10th month, which is the month of Tebeth, in the 7th year of his reign. And the king loved Esther. Not just looking at her and thinking about her. He loved her above all the churches. And she obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the rest of the virgins. So that he set the royal crown upon her head and he made her queen instead of Vashti. Amen. May the Lord add his blessings to the words. You can be seated this morning. I would like to start with some statements that the prophet makes to us to get our minds going to the direction that we want to look at this morning. Really a strange way to pull this out, to look at it, but when the Lord had given this to us, I felt that this would be a way that would help us to understand how that God can intervene in our lives. Brother Man makes this statement many different times in the message, but the way that he uses it here, I think it's so beautiful. Brother Ram's talking about election. He's talking about predestination, foreordination, ordination, all those different words that we use to talk about elect. He's talking about predestination, and he says it like this in the faith of Abraham. He said predestination, he said, looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. That God being infinite in the beginning, he knew the end from the beginning. Therefore, he knew what people would do so he could foretell what would take place, for he knew what would be. You believe that? Again, he tells us like this in the resurrection of Jesus, 1956. He said, it's been well stated that predestination, it looks back to foreknowledge, and foreknowledge looks on to destiny. And God in the beginning could see all the things the way it would happen. Therefore, he could tell it would be this way or that way or which way it would be. He knew how it would happen. He could foretell what would be. And he knew the end from the beginning. That's wonderful. Oh, listen to this. That's wonderful to think that every born-again child of God that has the privilege and the assurance to know that God knoweth his own. Amen. Glory. That's exactly right. God knoweth his own. I'd like to speak out of that if the Lord would help us. And I want to call it this subject tonight, when destiny collides with God's purpose. When destiny collides with purpose. We know that when you talk about predestination, we know that there is a destiny, but not just a destiny, but God has a purpose behind all of our lives. That's why you've been put here. And when you talk about destiny, to understand it, it means that it is absolutely going to happen, something that some individual is going to experience in the future. There's no way that it would go any other direction. They're destined to be something. It's a predetermined course of events that one is going to experience, but then it's held because there's a purpose behind why that individual doesn't. Now, when you talk about election, predestination, those type of words mean so much to us. We know that in the scripture, even in the book of Mark, to be able to help you to understand, we know that in the book of Mark that Jesus is coming back into Jerusalem. And then, he turns to his disciples and he tells them, I want you to go down the road. And when you come down this road, you're going to come to a crossroads. And there on the other side of the crossroads, you're going to find a colt that has been tied up. Now, I want you to take and loose that colt. And when you loose him, they're going to say unto you, why are you loosing this colt? And then Jesus said, I want you to tell them, because the Lord has need of this colt. Amen. Now, here are the disciples. They have the word of assurance. They know where they're supposed to go because the word has then told them where to go. And so now they start walking down the road that the word had told them to walk down. And as they're walking down the road, they come to the place just as Jesus had said, just as the word has said, glory. They come to the crossroads just as the word has said. And as they come to the crossroads, there on the other side of this crossroad, no doubt is a colt that is tied up there and he's waiting. And then these men take and they begin to loose this colt which had been tied up by his owner. But now the colt which was tied, which is in the right place at the right time for what the word has already said. Hallelujah. The word done said that the colt's going to be there. And there's the colt that the word had done prophesied about. And then now these men begin to come under obedience to what the word has said. And now they start loosening this colt. Now when they loose the colt, there's men that's standing there that tells them, say, why are you loosening this colt? And then they answer what had already been said in the word. Just a little bit of volume if you don't care, brother, right here. They begin to answer what the word told them to answer. Now they're not running with a message of their own. They're running with the prophecy that Jesus had already made. Jesus had told them where to go. Jesus had told them what to do. And now they come to this place, and when they ask, why do you loose the colt? They answer exactly what Jesus said to answer. It's because his master has need of him. Not his owner. I'm talking about his master. The one that created the moon. The one that created the stars. The one that created the world has need of this colt. But why would Jesus want this colt? Because this colt is not just any colt. It's not just another donkey. And he's not just in another place. He's in the place that he's ordained to be in. Amen. And now as they loose him, why are you loose him? Because the master has need of him.
this cult had already been seen in the Word. Amen. Why are they loosening? Because Jesus was taking the Old Testament scripture of Zechariah 9:9, where the Bible said to rejoice greatly, O daughters of Zion. Behold, thy king cometh unto thee, riding upon the foal of a colt. And I want to say this, that colt was the prophecy of Zechariah 9:9. That colt had already been seen in the vision. That call had already been, as we would say, predestinated not to pack rice out of a field, not to pack beans out of a field. He was elected to pack the word back into Jerusalem. Brother, you think you're here today around this message because maybe your daddy believed it or your mama believed it. I want to say this, we've already been seen in the vision. We're not just another church. We're not just another people. This is not just another age. But this is the age that a people is going to pack the word back into Jerusalem. Hallelujah. This cult was destined to pack the Messiah back into Jerusalem. This is what he's destined to be. And the purpose of his life is to fulfill the scripture that had already been prophesied. Oh, I hope you see yourself in that. Now, we understand that there was a moment in that cult's life from the time he's born to the time he becomes loosed. And I want to say this, that sounds like every one of us. We was tied up somewhere. You was tied up under some post. Amen, church. We was tied up under some man's idea. You was tied up under some creed or some dogma. But because prophecy was watching over you, and you was destined to believe this gospel, destined to pack the word, destined to believe the message of the hour. Amen. God sent somebody your way that loosed you. Amen. Now, understand, Barham tells us in The Marriage of the Lamb, he said, the hour has come that the bride has made herself ready. Oh, she's laid aside all these things. Remember, now watch what he says. Remember, Esther was chosen and Esther was elected when others was rejected. All those that's born again, that's got the Spirit of God, will be chosen at that day that the crown of glory will be set upon their head and the others will be rejected. So we see now that Esther, in the mind of God, had already been seen in the vision. She's got a place. She's got a position. She's the right person to fulfill the right hour. Amen. Now, during this time, the king had begun to showcase his kingdom before the princes of the land. And now as they begin to walk through this land and they're looking at different parts and pieces of the kingdom, that the king decides that he wants to have a feast. Now, the feast is going to last 7 days. Glory. And for 6 days, they would show them different parts of the kingdom. For 6 days, they would see different things in the kingdom. Pieces and parts of the kingdom. But on the seventh day, I said on the seventh day, on the seventh day, was going to be the day that the queen is going to come and stand beside the king. Hallelujah. But I want to say this. For 6 church ages, there's been pieces and parts of the word revealed. But we're not living under the church ages no more. We've come to the last hour, the last day, and we've been loosed by this message. Hallelujah. We've been untied and loosed to come and stand by his side. Now, he wants the queen to stand by his side, which at this time is Vashti. But Vashti was holding her own little denominational gathering, her own little council of churches. Glory. But the king interrupts this gathering of churches. Oh, come on, somebody. Somebody help me preach this morning. He interrupts this gathering and he commands the queen to come and stand by his side. Now, because she has her own mind about where she stands at, she rejects the king's word. And when she rejected the king's word, the king had no choice but to put Vashti away because of her refusal to go on with the word. Hey, say it no plainer than that. Now, we know that in type that the king turned down Vashti because of her refusal of headship. And when she refuses the king puts her away. And Brother Ram says it like this in the Message of Marriage and Divorce. And I'm not here preaching marriage and divorce, but I'm going to preach marriage and divorce. He said, you remember in the Bible when the king married Esther. Watch Brother Ram's type. When the king married Esther, it's because the queen refused to come out. So he got him another one. And what happened when she refused to come out with the king to obey him? Watch again, next paragraph. He did it. Now watch. He did it. Brother Brown's going to bring a parallel to the event that happened in Esther. And he's going to parallel that event to the age that we're living in right now. So we can see then by the Old Testament type that the prophet brought marriage and divorce. There's a parallel between Esther and the day that we're living in. Do you believe that? He said he did it when he proved it in the days of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. He proved it in the days of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost when they refused to become a further part of the word by having spiritual sexual affair to become pregnant with a further part of the word. You understand? She, talking about Vashti, she refused. She refused. And the Lutheran church refused for Christ to have any more desire. Luther refused it. And let me say this, you're going to call me something anyhow. So it is today. With every one of them, they fail to take that word. You understand? He's telling us that the king then, because he's turned down Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost, means he was looking for somebody who would come under the headship, somebody that would come under the ordination of the word, somebody that would come under the umbrella of the authority of the message of the hour. Now watch what he's calling this. They refused it, Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. They're refusing the king's command. Do you see what this message is? They refused the king's command. Now, they refuse it by the ages of Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost. But there just so happens to be when he puts Vashti away, he's going to have to find a queen to stand by his side. Hallelujah. Now, in order to be the queen, you have got to be elected by the king to be the queen. Anybody got a problem with that? In other words, you can't simply decide to be bride. You can't decide to be elected. You have to be elected by the king if you're going to be queen. You can't make somebody bride. You can't pray them into being bride. You've got to be chosen by God, elected, predestinated before the mind of God. Now, outside the palace, there just happens to be a little Jewish girl who's tied up. I mean, standing here. And because she is living, glory, near the palace at this time, her name is Hadassah, which is known as Esther. Her cousin during this time, and I like this guy, his name is Mordecai. Now, Mordecai has a position in the kingdom. Glory. And because he has a position, he knows what the king desires. He knows what the king likes. He knows how to pleasure the king until he understands what the king would want. And because Esther is a virgin, she's justified to go before the king. Oh, that's a mouthful right there. I'm going to say it again. Because she's a virgin. Now notice, not just any woman will do. Remember, Barab said a woman in the scripture represents the church. Not just any church is going to do. Not just any denomination's going to do. Not any just any lukewarmness is going to. You have to be elected, and you must be a virgin to the word. Now, before you can come before the king, you simply can't come off the street one day and come into the presence of the king the next day. But what they do is they give these women, these virgins, they give them a space of time, glory to God. They give them a time of purification. So there's got to be a cleansing. There's got to be a sanctification. And the Bible says it like this in verse 8. It came to pass when the king's commandment and decree was heard, many maidens were taken to the Shushan, to the palace of the custody of Haggai. And Esther was brought also to the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, the keeper of the women. So the first thing she gets when she comes into the kingdom, she gets the keeper. All right? Now, the Bible says the maiden pleased him, and he preferred her and her maids to the best place of the house. But Esther, as she comes in, she's not coming in with the mindset that she wants everybody to know about her. But, oh glory, but Mordecai, I just about said the prophet, Mordecai tells Esther, don't tell nobody who you are. Don't tell, oh God. In other words, keep your genealogy a secret. Keep your genealogy, who you are, where you come from, where you're going. Keep it a secret. So here's a virgin in the end time packing the secret, a mystery around the kingdom. Everybody with me now? So Esther, now as Mordecai says, don't tell no one who your kindred is, who your people is. Show it to nobody. So now she's walking around. And now notice Esther is getting ready to meet the king. Now, there's a lot of virgins who's going to pass before the king. But Esther was the only one who had a prophet getting her ready to meet the king. All right. Amen, somebody. If the events parallel this age, if it parallels this day, and we know it does according to marriage and divorce, that means that Esther has to have a prophet getting her ready to meet the king. I want to say this. Pastors can't dress you to meet the king. Evangelists can't dress you to meet the king. But it takes a prophet of God who's been vindicated above all men. Come on, church. It takes a vindicated prophet of God to get the bride to stand still, to clothe her and dress her with the word. Now, there's a lot of churches that claims they're going to be queen. But Esther's the only one that's got a prophet getting her ready. That's why we're not ashamed of this message. Amen. Amen. I don't care whether I like her or who doesn't like it. We're not ashamed of this message. Because it takes Malachi 4's message to dress the bride. That's why Brother Brown said, if I can get the bride to stand still, I'll take the clothes of the word and I'll dress her in the clothes of the word. Mordecai knows a Baptist message won't do. Mordecai knows that a Church of Christ religion won't do. But it's got to be something that's going to please the king when he sees it. What's it going to take? It'll take the unadulterated word of God in order to find the king's rights. Brother M says it like this. I hope he'll crown my ministry with this. Letting me take the clothes of the word and dress his bride in the clothes of his righteousness. Again, he tells us in the Evening Messenger, the messenger's hunting a bride for Christ, trying to find character. Any man that'll come, a messenger of the last day, he's trying to find a bride for Christ. He will not look for denominational membership. And the church said, amen. He looks for character that's willing. Amen. I said, Esther has to be willing. Amen. Oh, yes, I'll follow your word. Oh, yes, I'll come under obedience. Oh, yes, I'll come what the king says to come. Again, he says, the evening messenger, the messenger of the last day, it's the evening light. And the evening light is the first. He's trying to find that church where they'll just believe the message. Did you catch that? Amen. Well, Brother David, I want to understand it. I say, I want to believe it. Amen. That's the problem we got now, is everybody wants everything. Just tell me what the thunders are. Tell me what the seals are. Tell me what it is. People want information. But brother, let me say this. Some man can explain it to you, but another man can explain it away from you. But if God reveals it to you, I said, if God reveals it to you, ain't no preacher, ain't no man, ain't nobody can take it away from you. If God reveals it to you. Amen. I don't want it explained. I want it revealed. He said, they'll just believe the message. Can you read what I'm talking about? Huh? Well, that church is that'll let you come in, won't close the door in your face. And when you do, they found, and when you find that, you found character. And if she'll stand still long enough, I'll tell her how the bride's got to be dressed. She's got to be clothed. And she'll just stand still. Brother Mordecai tells Esther everything that she needs to obtain the blessing. Amen. Everything that she has need of. And I believe that Elijah has told us everything we have need of in order to obtain the blessing. Amen. Brother, if you don't got it, you can't blame it on the prophet. Come on, somebody. If you're not coming to power, it's not the word's fault. It's not the message's fault. Come on, somebody. Because everything we have need of lays in the word of God. If you need healing, it's in there. If you need joy, it's in there. If you need peace, it's in there. Everything we have need of lays in the message of the hour. I said it's in there. But if we're not drawing the nutrients, you can't blame the word. All you got to do, Esther, is just put it on. I said you just got to put it on. These women begin to pass before the king. But the Bible says, when the turn of Esther come, I like that right there. There's a lot of churches that had their turn. But now it's Esther's turn. The Bible says he'd taken now, and she required nothing but what the king's chamberlain had appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all of them that looked on her. So Esther was taken to the king of Ahasuerus. Esther was taken in to King Ahasuerus. On the 10th month of the 7th year. So under 10-7. Some of you are throwing a chair right now. My kind of church, we'd be hanging off them lights right about there. Under 10-7, she's going to meet the king. Because of 10-7, she's going to see the king. Because of 10-7. Revelation 10:7. In the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he begins to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. Because of 10:7, Esther's ready to meet the king. Glory! Because of 10:7, she gets to see the king. Hallelujah! Under 10:7, she's dressed right. Under 10-7, she's clothed right. She's going to meet the king. Now watch. Esther, the Bible said that when Esther, glory, comes into the king's palace, that when the king sees her, he loved her above all the women. Now, we plan for things. Whenever you're going to go to college, you plan for it. Whenever you're going to buy a house, you plan for it. Why is it when it comes to love that we fall into it? We plan for everything else in life. But you don't plan for love. Love hits you in the head like a board. I mean, it may be somebody you've known your whole life, but when you fall in love with them, there's a lot of girls. But there's only one woman for you. Come on, somebody. There's a lot of churches that came before the king. A lot of women passed before him. Glory. But when he saw Esther, brother, drop the ball, drop the bucket, stop the press. Woo! Woo! Love you. What's her name? Don't care what her name is. I love her. Oh, Joe, you're just old sappy romantic. I might be. I believe in love at first sight. Amen. And second sight and third sight. Now watch. A lot of virgins come by the king. But when the king saw her, the Bible says that she obtained grace and favor in his sight. Now watch. According to Zechariah, we know that according to Zerubbabel, which is the type
of the prophet of this age. Is that what Brother Ram taught us in the message of grace? He said that messenger, according to Zerubbabel, he said the headstone is going to descend. But when the headstone descends, it's going to come crying something. Come on, church. It's going to come crying, grace, grace. Isn't that what the prophet told us, even the messenger? He's going to come crying that grace to us. Now, the first time that grace is mentioned, oh God, is when the king falls in love. It's good preaching right there. You didn't even catch it. Grace did not start in time. It started in the throne room of God. And here the king is, and he gives her grace right from the very start. Whew. She obtained grace and favor in his sight more than all the rest of the churches. So he set the royal crown upon her head and made her queen, not girlfriend. Now watch. This can't be some political scheme. Now I'm preaching about redemption now. If he's going to marry this woman after putting those churches away, no politics can be involved. No shady deals under the table. Come on, somebody. But I want to say this. It's got to be done justly, and it's got to be done righteously. Right? Amen. Jesus can't just halfway redeem a bride. The price has got to be paid. Now watch. But here is Esther. She is ordained to this position. She's destined to be the queen. And now the purpose of God is unfolding in her life. He sets the crown upon her head. Now notice, she's not just another concubine. She's not just another church. Can I say it like this? It's not just another age of reformation. Come on, church. Not just another reformer. We've had those. Hallelujah. We've had those. We've seen pieces and parts that was under reformation. But we're not under a reformation. We're not under reformation. We are under restoration. Amen. For he sends Elijah the prophet to turn the hearts back to the face. Glory. Now, she's elected queen, right? She's the king's choice. She's the king's desire. But there's another person in this age. His name is Haman. And what can I say good about this guy? I won't say nothing at all then. Haman's a backseat driver. That's just real polite, ain't it, right there? Just smooth like butter. Haman's a man that likes things done his way. And there ain't nothing worse than a backseat driver. You know what I'm talking about? You may know what I'm talking about, husband. You look at your wife, this service is over right now. I'm talking about when somebody else is driving and you got control problems. And they get too close to a car and you're stomping a brake that is not there. And because you're not in control, come on somebody, you're having issues because you're not the one in control of it. And Haman was a man who liked things done his way, and his opinion of himself is he's the best thing since sliced bread. And he thinks he's great. And he likes his ego stroked. And he likes to be thought well of. Matter of fact, it's his desire. He wants a position in the kingdom. He does. He wants to be like the king. Can I preach Isaiah? He wants to be like the Most High. He wants to exalt his will above every other will. Anybody know who I'm talking about? I will ascend. I will be above the Most High. I'll come to the sides of the north. He wants to raise his kingdom up. His opinion of himself is great. But it just so happens. It just so happens that Mordecai refuses to stroke the devil's ego. Amen. Glory to God. As a matter of fact, Haman doesn't like Mordecai. Cares nothing about him. And because Mordecai's a Jew, and Haman knows this, he's going to do everything he can to kill the influence. Preach right there, somebody. Are you with me now? He wants to do everything he can to kill Mordecai from having influence in the kingdom. See what I'm saying? So what he does is, now watch.
So he hatches out this plan. I'm going to make Mordecai look as bad as I can. I'm going to try my best to get people to lose confidence in him. Preach with me now. I'm going to try to get people to quit following his message. I'm going to try to kill his influence among the land. Amen. I'm going to do my best. I'm going to tell them it wasn't a cloud. It was a rock in Arizona. Come on, somebody. Yeah, it was a rocket launched out of California. He's going to lie on the prophet. He's going to tell them that 16 men did not die on a bridge because we have no historical record. But I'll just remind you, Moses in the scripture talked to a bush that was on fire, but it was not consumed. And we don't have one evidence. We don't have one newspaper clipping. We don't have one television station that can agree and identify that that was absolutely fact. But whether they like it or not, I believe it anyway. Amen. Brother, I don't need some article to tell me that it happened. I believed it because he said so. Amen. I ain't got no record besides the scripture where three boys were thrown into the fire. And they come out and didn't even have the smell of smoke on them. But I believe it. I ain't got no article where it says that Daniel survived the lion's den, but I believe it. Amen, somebody. I ain't got no just natural evidence where Elijah was taken up in a whirlwind, but I believe it. I said I believe it. You know why I believe it? Because I'm a believer. I don't have to have it proved. His word is good enough for me. Oh, don't like it, do you? Well, I do. I believe it because he said so. I don't have to have 55 scriptures on it or 1,000 scriptures. I believe it because the voice said it. And as far as I know, it ain't never been wrong, nor can it ever be wrong. Amen. Well, glory. Well, thank you. I got that off my heart now. Amen. Now watch. I'm going to try to tie this for you. But notice, Haman becomes before the king. And he uses this ideal. I tell you, Haman, he's so sly. King, these people in this providence, they don't love you. They don't care nothing about your kingdom. Matter of fact, they're only squatters here during this time. What you need to do, and I hear, oh king, watch him as he begins to tell the king these things. I hear that they care nothing about your desire. They don't care nothing about building this kingdom. What I'd do is, I'd kill these Jews. Now watch. The king's a just man. And the king injects a law of death, amen, against the people of God. Now, because Haman is so slick, he's going to use this trickery. He's going to slide under the wall to get a law injected into the kingdom. That's it right there. And I'll just remind you, the law I'm talking about is, it's when he come into the Garden of Eden, he slipped underneath the garden wall, Brother Ram said, and he come in and he stole Adam's bride away from him. And when he stole Adam's bride away, remember now, what happened is that God being just, he'd already said in his word, the day thou eat thereof, that day thou shalt surely. Now watch. Once the king makes this decree, the king cannot change his word. He can't alter it. He can't change it. It must be carried out exactly the way he said it. Because the law was just and it was holy according to the scripture. But what Haman didn't know was, hallelujah, what Haman didn't know was, is that the Jews was the mystery and Esther was revealed. See what I'm saying? Because Esther had come under obedience to the prophet's message, she's hiding the mystery of who she really is. Glory. Nobody knows. But watch, the king's queen is under the penalty of the law. That's good right there, somebody. And the king's law cannot be changed. It must be carried out exactly what he said. Amen. But what the king doesn't know and what Haman doesn't know is that Esther is a Jew. Now, because this woman is packing a mystery, glory to God, because she's packing a secret, and he doesn't know exactly who she is, Mordecai, he hears what's been done, and he knows that Haman is using the law against God's people. Oh God, that's good. And he has slipped in and taken the king's ear, and the law has been given. But I want to say this, Mordecai knows what's being done. So he begins to fast before the Lord because he knows that something has to happen. Something has to take place. Something has got to transition. Amen. Now watch. Mordecai becomes separated from Esther because of who he is. Glory to God. But Mordecai starts sending Esther message after message after message. See, not there at the shuck, things that are to be, Christ the mystery of God revealed, future home, heavenly bridegroom, and the earthly bride. He starts sending her messages. You with me now? And he's telling Esther, you've got to recognize who you are. Right? You got to see who you are. You've got, oh, here you are. You've got to make a stand. You've got to do your part. Now watch, Mordecai's done his part. Mordecai has fulfilled his part. But you've got to recognize who you are, Esther. You've got to come to your place. You've got to come to your position. You've got to be loosed. You've got to be untied. You've got to recognize your day and its message. Hallelujah. Oh, my. And so Mordecai sends Esther a message. And it says something like this. Verse 14. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time. Then shall the enlargement deliverance arise to you from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knows whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Amen. Can I read it out of the Amplified? The Amplified says it like this. I love this. If you keep silent during this time. In other words, it's not the time of silence no more. It's not the time to sit on your hands and do nothing for God. It's not just the time to sit and just let the days go by. Come on, somebody. We're not just sitting around. We're not a bunch of lazy people who's just said, we are busy at work. Work while it's day for the night coming when no man can work. Are you with me now? We got to make sure we're busy doing something for the Lord. Amen. I said it since I've been evangelism. I drove the wear out and rust out. Kind of wish I never said that, but anyway. He says, if thou keep silent during this time, relief and deliverance shall arise for the Jews from elsewhere. Now watch. But who knows? Is there anybody that even knows that you've come to the kingdom? I like that right there. For such a time as this, for this very occasion. Amen. Now watch. In other words, what the prophet is telling Esther is, you're predestinated for this hour. You are destined for this moment. You're destined for this. Come on, church. This is why you're here. This is what you've been called to do. Then notice, the prophet is honing the mind of Esther down. Because something has got to happen. You're not just safe sitting around this message. You're not safe just because you got pictures on a wall. Come on, somebody. Brother, pictures on your wall makes no difference whether you're Baptist, Methodist. It's not just safe saying that we believe the message. It's not safe just having 1,100 sermons. Come on, somebody. But what I'm telling you is, it's the hour of intercession. Esther, you must intercede. The message was honing her mind down to awaken her to the reality of what she's called to be. Why? It's a time of recognition. It's a time that the bride gets woke up. Come on, church. It's the awakening. We're living in the time of the awakening. He's awakening you to recognize that you're called, you're chosen, you're destined for this moment. Why do you think you're even here? Well, brother, somebody brought me here. I believe God's got a greater plan than that. Well, I'm just here because my parents is here. I believe God's got a greater plan than that. I believe we're ordained for this part. I believe you can be sitting on these pews because God wanted you in that pew. God can do how God wants to do. Let God do what God does. Woo! Let God do what He does. When He does it right. Amen. If you hold your peace at this time, who knows? Who knoweth? Who knoweth that thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? This is the purpose of your life. Do you understand? I don't want to just be another preacher. I do not want to just be another. I don't want to just be another message believer. I want to be elected, predestinated, and I want to recognize it. You see that? I don't want just identification around it. I love butt buckles, but I don't want to just wear butt buckles. Come on, somebody. I don't want to just be like the prophet. I want to understand He's called me and I recognize who He is. And He's told me who I am. You remember whenever Jesus came to Peter, He said, Peter, who do you say I, the Son of Man, am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter recognized who the Son of Man was. But in turn, come on somebody, and in turn, Jesus spoke to Peter. And He said, thou art Peter. He only recognized who He was. He turned and said who He was. Now watch. This is your opportunity. This is your moment. This is your divine appointment. And as Brother Branham moved from first pull to the second pull, down to the third pull of his ministry. Now remember, the ministry was building to this place. All the other was days of preparation. Is that what he said? He said, them were days of preparation. But now he's coming to the capstone. Come on, somebody. He's coming to the cap of his ministry. He's coming to the paramount, the peak of a man's ministry. And now he comes to the third pull, which is a time of recognition. And he starts announcing to the queen what her position is in the kingdom. Amen. Now watch. Mordecai's done his part. He done it perfectly. Couldn't have been done better by another man. He was destined to fulfill his part. And he stood at his post of duty righteously, justly. Amen. Luther done his part. Wesley done his part. But now it's a time of recognition that the message has been sent among us. Listen to me real quick. The message has been sent among us for you to recognize who you are. Amen, church. Listen, friends. The devil believes God sent a prophet. And he ain't going in the rapture. We've got to recognize I'm called to believe this. There's something in me. There's a deep calling to the deep. I can't keep from believing what I'm believing. I can't keep from seeing what I'm seeing. I'm anointed to believe it. Why do you think it moves you the way it does? We're called to stand in this hour. All the shadows and the tops is coming to life now. Remember Brother Ram saying that? The word's coming to life now. And he was talking about the Antichrist system and how that the enemy is coming to his place. He said the word's coming to life. Well, if the enemy's coming to his place and the whore's coming to her place and the Pope's coming to his place. Come on, somebody. There's got to be an Esther somewhere. There's got to be an elected lady who's ordained to come to this place. Oh, God, give me strength to say it today. We got to recognize who we are. Letting you know you're called, you're chosen for such a time as this. Amen. For this very occasion. For this moment. Hallelujah! What are you going to do, Esther? I'm going to carry His word. I'm going to pack this message in my heart. Come on, somebody. God help us let the word come off the tape and live in a life. Let it come off bookshelves and come within humanity where a man can stand and become the word. The word has become flesh, and now the flesh is becoming the word. Glory! We're predestinated for this hour. For this reason, you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. What time is it, Brother David? It's throne room time. Listen to me real quick. I'm quitting. The days of playing church is over.
The days of sitting around griping about who's right, who's wrong, who's up, who's down. Who cares? That is elementary things that the devil tries to mix among us. It's an hour of recognition. It's an hour, friends, that we lay down our swords and we put our arms around one. Amen. We put our arms around one another to stand eagle to eagle, soldier to soldier. I feel the Holy Ghost. This message never come to build walls. Man has built walls. The message come to tear the walls down. There's going to be a people that's going to walk into the inner veil where no other age has been able to walk like you and I have. Amen, somebody. A people who's going to walk into the very throne room of God. God's been building this church down through the ages. And Brother Brown said he's been building the church from the feet, coming all the way to the head. I mean, notice he says that. He's building the church from the feet to the head. We're not in the feet days. Come on, somebody. This is not even up here on the shoulders days. But Ram said, we've come back to the mind, which is exactly where you was in the beginning. You was a thought in the mind of God. And the prophet said that a thought expressed is the word. It's headstone time. It's headstone ministry time for such a time as this. Now watch what Esther does. She starts listening to the message. And then once she begins to hear it, it starts honing her mind down. And then she starts running with a message. I feel good right there. Come see a man? I don't know. She's running with a message. Here's a woman running with a message. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? Remember St. John chapter 4? Brother Ram used it more than any other thing. Once she recognized who Christ was, she ran with the message. Well, Brother, what about the well? She recognized who he was. What do we do now? Run with the message. Why do I leave my family for weeks at a time? I'm running with a message. Amen. Amen. Then Brother Ram said, God, raise up some young men. Take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord. God, raise up some young men. I'm quoting that right there, and I'm standing on that quote no matter how old I get. And we're running with this message. I said, Brother Kenny, we're running with the message. Why in the world do you go? He's running with the message. Come see a man who's told me who I am. Glory. We've moved to the pyramid. Now watch. They have debated for thousands of years that the book of Esther should not even be within the Holy Script. And the reason why is because the book of Esther, it never mentions the name of God, Yahweh, Elohim, Jehovah. Never mentions the name of God. And theologians has debated for years that Esther should not even be within the canon of the Scripture because it doesn't mention the name of God. It only mentions prayer and fasting. But I want to say, it's in there, but it's in mystery form. It lays there, but there's a mystery to what it is. Now, they say it doesn't belong in the Scripture, but look where it's placed at. The book of Esther is right after the book of Nehemiah, and it's right before the book of Job. Now, Job represents the resurrection. I know my Redeemer liveth, right? But Nehemiah, glory! Nehemiah represents Israel coming out and back into their homeland. Catch it now? So after the Jews come back to the homeland, and just before the resurrection, you got a bride coming to her position. Glory! After the Jews come back and got their own flag, their own money, their own military. Just after the Jews come back to their homeland. And just before the resurrection, there's a queen recognizing who she is. Oh, it's in there. But it took a prophet to be able to rip the revelation off of the seal to let you see the new book to recognize who you are. Because remember, he's revealed in three sons' names. Right? Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David. Son of God, he revealed himself through the church ages. Son of David, he reveals himself to the Jews. But there's a space of time between Son of God and Son of David. He reveals himself as Son of Man.
And that's the day I'm living in. Amen, amen somebody. I said, I'm under that feast. A feast of recognition. Come on, church. A feast of recognition. Now, Esther recognizes that she's got something she's got to do. Now, watch. She begins to take the words of the prophet. And she knows she's got to do something. She's got to go to meet the king. But if she walks in there without being invited, the law will strike her down. I said it's death to go beyond that veil because it will strike her down. But she sends the message back and she says, I want everybody to start praying because I'm going to see the king. Live, die, sink or swim, I'm going to see the king. Praise God. I'm going to see the king. If I die, let me die. I'm going to see the king. If he kills me, let him kill me. I'm going to see the king. Now watch. Because the law of sin and death is in effect, she starts getting ready. What would you dress in if you're going to go see a king? Oh God. She starts getting ready. And she starts putting on the clothes that the king gave her. Amen, somebody. And the Bible says it came to pass on the third day, that Esther put on her royal apparel. She put on her royal apparel. It was a gift from the king, but he's calling it hers. She's dressed in a righteousness that is not her own. She starts putting on the clothes that was a gift from the king, the very garments that the king gave her. She's wearing the gifts of the king. Come on, somebody. Where are you going? To the throne room. And Paul said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find help. Come on, somebody. That we may obtain mercy and find grace and help in the time of need. Amen. The third pull is life or death, brother. Ain't no playing games about it. Amen. She doesn't have an invitation. She could die. The guards are ready to cut her down. She starts walking down through the corridors. The only thing that can save her when she comes into the throne room is if the king extends his scepter. Oh. If the king extends the scepter when someone comes in unannounced, it simply means he's pardoning them or giving them grace.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. She walks down through the corridors. She comes to the door. When the door is open, the law is there to meet her, to cut her down. But when the law, oh God, when the law would strike her down, the king extends the scepter. Can I have 5 minutes? Let me tell you about my scepter. The scepter is a king's staff, and the staff has a symbol on the top of it. And the symbol represents the kingdom, the head of the kingdom. Whether it be a lion, whether it be an eagle, whatever it might be, you have to touch the head of the kingdom to get the grace. The kingdom is identified by the scepter. But the scepter is just a common piece of wood overlaid with gold.
Amen.
See that? I'm going to say it again. It's a common flesh and bone. I mean, it's a common stick, but it's overlaid with deity. I just preached the Godhead. It's common flesh and bone, but he was overlaid with deity. He was a man that could cry. He was a man that could groan with a headache, but he was so much God. He could stand at the grave of Lazarus, and Lazarus would have to obey. He was a common man. He could feel what you feel. But he was overlaid with deity. She walks into the throne room. The law would cut her down. But the king extends his scepter. What do I got to do, Brother David? You got to reach up. You got to have the faith to reach up and touch the hem of his garment. You got to identify, this grace is for me. This mercy is for me. Hallelujah. She comes in and extends her scepter. Oh my, when he touches that scepter, the king says, watch. The moment she receives the grace, the next thing the king says is, whatever you want,
Whatever you want up to half the kingdom. Whatever you ask, I'm going to give it to you. See that? Because she's got a place in the kingdom now, she's got rights to ask the king for some things. I'm preaching to you. You got a right to stand. Anything you ask in my name, it shall be given. Amen. You have not because you ask not. Oh, King, I've made a, you don't understand what's going on. But that old devil has been after us. And he's got a plan. He's got a will of his own that he's going to destroy all of my people. Amen. The king says, but Esther, I can't change my law. I love you, but I can't change my law. I can't change my law. I've got to be just. It's got to be done justly. Well, on a certain day, all the Jews is going to be killed. I know, but I can't change my law, Esther. But I'll tell you what I'll do. I'm going to issue a higher law.
Glory!
Hello, 1, 2, 1, 2. I sweat that out. I'm going to issue a higher law. I'm going to give them a new covenant. Hallelujah. I'm going to give them a new testament. Amen! Say on March the 12th or March the 13th, if a Jew's going to be killed by a man, then I say if on March the 13th the Jew's going to die, then on March the 12th, if he knows, if a Jew knows that somebody's going to kill him the next day, he can kill him before they kill them. I wouldn't even make that up. That's the word. Amen, somebody. If you know you're going to be killed by your enemy, let me preach to you right here. Can I quote it? You got to kill your enemy before he kills you. I heard him say it this week. You got to kill your enemy before he kills you. Hallelujah. Watch. Old Haman had made some gallows for Mordecai. I challenge you to go look up and average it up how high the gallows was that Haman was going to hang Mordecai on. Brother, it's a statement. He wants to hang him above the city to let everybody know what he's done to Mordecai. But the king says, the judgment that you was going to give, yes, preach right there somebody, amen, you're going to receive. Amen. That tells me that, Brother Ramsey says, everything the devil made you do, everything's going to go back upon that accuser. Yes. Hallelujah! The accuser is going to pay for everything he made you do. Glory! She coming to the throne of grace. And she received grace. Not just grace, double grace. Amen. She got grace when she was elected. And she got grace to overcome death. Amen. Oh God, let our musicians come this morning. Don't you see who you are? Don't you see who you are? You're the people who stops Satan's ascension. Amen. Every year they have a feast. They call it the Feast of Purim. You ever heard of that, Feast of Purim? They have a feast called the Feast of Purim. And during this feast, they have little goodies that they eat. And they just so happen to be, they cut them in a triangular shape. About like that. But even though it's shaped like a pyramid, the mystery of what that pastry is lays on the inside of it. And you don't know what it is until you eat it. You can sit around and look at it all you want and talk about it all you want. But when you start taking it and eating it, then the revelation of what's in it becomes personal. Well, glory somebody. They take the scroll of Esther and they open the book of Esther and they read the story of Esther to the people. And every time the name of Haman is mentioned, what they would do is they would take chalk and they'd write the name Haman on the bottom of their feet. With chalk. They would write the name Haman with chalk on their feet. And every time the Bible mentions the name Haman, they start stomping. I said they start stomping. Every time the devil's name is mentioned, they start stomping. And by the time the book is read, glory! the name of Haman is erased from the bottom of their feet. From the bottom of their feet, the name of Haman is completely removed. Oh, praise be to God. I love him, don't you? They would take this doll, and they would dress this doll up to represent Haman. And they'd march Haman through the streets. You know what they would do? As they'd march Haman through the streets, this dummy, I like that one. As they march this dummy through the streets, there's a group of them that gets together at the end of the street. And they throw him down on the ground. And they begin to stomp him. Satan's going to burn in hell for everything he calls you to do. I would like to be on the party that kicks old Slewfoot over into hell. Wouldn't you? All the things he's made you do, he's going to be cast in the lake of fire. Let's bow our hearts this morning. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, your prophet said when the seals come open that the Bible become a new book. These things, Lord, they lay within the Word. They laid there through so many days. But Lord, the mystery of what lays in the Word has now become open to us. Here we are, Lord, right before the resurrection. The Jews had went back to their homeland. It amazes me that the prophet said the very next day that the Jews and Israel become a nation, he said, the next day I was up in a cave and the Lord commissioned me. Hallelujah. Lord, can't we see where the purpose of this message? Where the purpose of it? The purpose wasn't just to have a prophet. The purpose was to call out a bride and then to reveal to her that she's the queen of eternity. Help us, I pray this morning. Open the eyes of our hearts. Lord, open the eyes of every heart in this place. May we recognize, Lord, we're not just another people. This is not just another age. We're the people of the ascension. We're the people of the rapture. We're the people of the resurrection. We're the people of the body change. We're a living group who's alive and remain. That law of sin and death is going to have no effect upon us. Hallelujah! But we're going to be changed. Changed in a moment. In a twinkling of an eye. We're going to receive a change. Our loved ones are going to appear. Hallelujah! Lord, I'm longing for the resurrection. Oh God. For Lord, your prophet's going to come to introduce me to my Savior. Oh God. Help me, Lord. May I put on the wedding garments. Lord, may I put on the robes of righteousness. May we be dressed. Hallelujah. May we be prepared, ready to leave. If there's anybody in this place today that's not ready, I pray, God, make them ready. Lord, if they ain't in, I don't want to condemn them. But Lord, let them come in. May they receive it. We got too many. If you make a mistake, they cast you out. You do something wrong, they throw you away. God, I don't want to be that type of a preacher. I want to recognize that you're not just a God that gives us mercy once, but I believe you're a God of second chances and third chances and fourth chances. You're merciful, all-knowing. As that black sister said down in Georgia, you're omnipotent. Hallelujah. Father, open the eyes this morning, I ask. May he ask to recognize who she is, to know what you've called us to be, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen. Would you stand to your feet with me this morning? Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Oh my, I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've recognized who we are. Have you recognized it? Do you see it? Church member? Not me. Churchgoer? Not me. I'm that predestinated seed who was on that collision course that day. Destiny collides, but the purpose is when Esther recognizes what she was called to be. during the hour of intercession, you got to recognize what you're called to be. Let's sing a song as we go. Amen.
Well, amazing grace, how sweet was the sound.
What did it do for you?
Hallelujah.
It saved a wretch like me.
Glory. Oh, yes, Lord.
So blind, the message of the hour has opened my eyes and I can see.
Well, praise God, praise God, praise God.
Oh, hallelujah. Won't you slip your hand up? Won't you thank you for letting you see what you see? Letting you believe what you believe today. He's called you. For this hour, for this moment, for such a time as this, for this very occasion.
Praise God. Praise God. Well, praise God. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. When we've been there 10,000. Let's sing it this way again. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Praise God.
Once I was clothed in the wraps of my sin. Oh, I was wretched and poor, so lost and lonely within. But then with wondrous compassion, the great
sing it a little bit different tonight, or this morning rather. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm the bride of the King. Oh, now His royal blood, church, it now flows through my veins, and I, who was wretched, I was so vile. Sing about it, Esther. Oh, now I'm
the bride with the heavenly home. And my holy Father, he has made me his own. Oh, now I'm cleansed by his blood. Oh, and I'm clothed in his love. And someday I'm gonna sing with all the angels above. Oh yes, the bride of the King. Oh, I'm the bride of the King. Now his royal blood, oh, it now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched, oh, and so vile, but now can sing. Praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm the bride of the King. Oh yes, oh yes, I'm the bride, I'm the bride of the King. Oh, for his royal blood, church, it now flows through my veins. And I, who was wretched, oh, I was vile, but now can sing. Praise God, praise God. Oh, I'm the bride of the King. Oh, Heavenly Father, what a blessed people we are this morning to feel your presence. Lord, to know that you called and chose, you elected from before the foundation of the world. Lord, you weren't waiting on our works. You weren't waiting on our righteousness. We had none. Oh, but Father, you knew us before the foundation of the world. You looked down through time and you chose us. You weren't waiting on our righteousness, but you clothed us in your own, Father. Oh, what a blessed people we are this morning. How we love you, Father. How we thank you for your presence. Thank you for the word. Thank you for a group of people that's still standing for the truth in this age, even though it's, oh, there's so much evil, so much, Lord, just the world turning away from you, rejecting you. But yet there's still a group of people that still stands for the truth. I thank you, Father, for eyes to see and ears to hear. Oh, Father, give us courage. Help us to recognize who we are. Be with us, Father, we pray. Be with each one as we go our separate ways, Lord. Protect and guide and bring us back at the appointed time, Father, we pray. In Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Let's sing this together. Amen. Maybe you don't understand why we act so happy, but I'm going to explain it to you this morning. Oh, can't you see why I'm so happy? I've got a reason to be. Oh, I've accepted the word of the Lord. It's the revealed word. Oh, that was spoken by the prophet Almighty. Are you happy? You happy in the Lord this morning? Let's sing it again together. Oh, can't you see? So happy. Brother Wes, Brother Kenny, Brother David, would you come help us pray?
I'm so happy.
my heart like you do. Well, I could search for all eternity long and find there's none like you. Help me sing it today. There's none like you. And no one else can touch my heart like you do. I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. None like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Well, I could search for all eternity long. And find is none like you. There is none like you. No one else can touch my heart like you do. Well, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. My heart like you do. Well, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. Well, no one else can touch my heart like you do. Well, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is none like you. Well, no one else can touch my heart like you do. Well, I could search for all eternity long and find there is none like you. There is coming a day when no heartache shall come. There'll be no clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. When I and he leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. Jesus I shall see. When I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and he leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, what a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, when I look upon his face, the one who saved me by his grace. When he takes me by the hand and he leads me through the promised land. Oh, what a day, glorious day that will be. And he leads me through.